The American military faces complex new challenges in combating terrorism. As was displayed at the Pentagon, attacks can come anywhere, and the enemy promises to be elusive. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Thomas E. Ricks has been observing the U.S. military and its culture for more than a decade. He's the military correspondent for The Washington Post and the author of two books on the subject. NPR Steve Inskeep spoke last week with Ricks about how the military is adjusting to its new challenges.
Obviously, the attack September 11th was a surprise to everyone in the country, including the United States military. But I'm wondering, how ready was the military to face this kind of a threat or attack?
I don't think the military was ready at all, and I don't fault it for that. I don't think the military should have been ready. We've not had attacks on this nation, on the continental U.S., since the War of 1812 from a foreign entity. I wouldn't want a military that had actively thought about how to shoot down American airliners. I would have been worried by that. And the particular form of this attack was not the scenarios that even the think tanks had talked about. They always talk about the way Americans would do things, you know, come up with some new high-tech weapon of mass destruction. No, these guys did it the old-fashioned way. They went and hijacked a big airplane, and then their novel twist was they flew it into something.
It's been interesting to me when I've talked to military people that jumpiness that Americans have described about themselves over the last couple of weeks of feeling like there could be another attack any minute, when you talk to some military people, you did get a sense that military people have been thinking about this, have been thinking about attacks, asymmetrical attacks.
Very much in that sense, but usually in the form of overseas things. For example, like the USS Cole, the U.S. Navy ship that was bombed, supposedly, by accomplices of Osama bin Laden a year ago in the Yemeni port of Aden. So there have been several attacks in the U.S. military. This has been part of the way we do business as a nation for the last 10 years. And in many ways, people in the U.S. military saw this as the cost of a U.S. military presence in the Mideast. Some people there don't like us. Some people will express that violently. We're going to take some hits. What we had not had thus far was a hit on the homeland. And I think that's why the World Trade Center hit, in addition to the numbers, seems so different than the attack on the Pentagon.
A great many people have said, whether it's entirely true or not, that this is a different country than it was before September 11th. Do you think it is a different military than it was before September 11th?
Yes, very much. I think it's a military that in some ways, I have no hard concrete evidence of this, but I think in some ways feels it didn't do its job. What is the fundamental job of a military? To protect the people of the nation from attack. And I am not faulting the military for this. I don't think it's their fault. But they were unable to that day. This was a new form of attack. They weren't there. I'm not quite sure how you would have protected against that attack. But I think the military, yes, is doing some real soul searching right now and thinking about how what this new world presents, what the new threat is, and how they're going to deal with it.
And not only that, you have the added challenge that it's not immediately obvious how to respond, how to retaliate.
Nor is it clear that it's a military response that's required. Probably the best defense against this sort of thing is more intelligent airport security. Not just more airport security. I speak as someone who's spent a lot of time in lines. But more intelligent security, probably better INS overwatch and better coordination, better intelligence. I think it's a long struggle to figure out quite how to deal with it.
Is there more impatience? Do you sense more impatience in military circles to do something?
No, I think the military is very comfortable with the notion of a deliberate, thoughtful, effective response is what they want. I think the military also understands the political nature of this, that if the United States is perceived to be simply an angry giant swatting out at the world, that it will lose a lot of the coalition that it's assembling so carefully right now.
This brings us to an interesting point. At a time when a great many Americans seem to have lost interest in the world and world events and world politics, it has been military officers who have been paying attention to what's happening around the world and thinking about the world in a nuanced way.
It has struck me, for example, when you go out to Fort Leavenworth, where the Army has its school, Command and General Staff College for young officers, they are extraordinarily engaged in the world. If I say, who here has served in Somalia, Bosnia, Haiti, Korea, every single hand will go up at this point. They've all done time overseas, and they want to know about that big world out there in a way that a lot of Americans didn't. I mean, that's my sense. On September 11th, the phrase that keeps on recurring to me is the world rushed in. The world came in on us, and said, you can try to ignore us, but we're going to force ourselves on your attention. Well, the U.S. military has been paying attention to that world for 10 years now. It strikes me in some ways, we have been at war without knowing it. Probably to February 98, when Osama bin Laden issued his fatwa saying he was going to kill American civilians.
Many Americans, particularly around New York and around Washington, have been waking up and hearing the sound of fighter jets overhead, and even occasionally seeing soldiers on the streets. How does that change things?
The fighter jets really, I think, have changed things atmospherically, even, I think, more than soldiers on the streets. We've seen soldiers on the streets. If you're over 40 in this country, there were soldiers on the street in the riots in the late 60s. Fighter jets are different. I've always thought of that sound, that huge roar of the small fighter jet, as the sound of mechanized death. And they waked me up in Washington here at about 2 o'clock, 2:30 every morning. I'm not quite sure why at that time. I think it really is putting people on edge. Partly people are losing sleep. It's very loud. For me personally, it represents a bit of a defeat for this country. To me, it's the sound of Bosnia. I remember being a reporter in Bosnia and being woken up by F-16s coming in. And I wake up and I think, it's sort of like Bosnia has come here. I mean, I actually, in my confusion as I come out of a dream, have sometimes thought I'm in Bosnia. And I don't like it.
Thomas E. Ricks is a military correspondent for The Washington Post and the author of two books about the military, one fiction, one nonfiction, A Soldier's Duty and Making the Corps. Mr. Ricks, thanks very much for coming by.
Thank you.